Is this the Wakefield real estate office, ma'am?
Hello, David. The great newspaper tycoon himself.
Only an assistant tycoon. I also paint the building when it needs it.
That's all you will be doing if you take half a day off to drive Kate to the airport.
Well, Aunt Isabel had to be met in style. And who could do it with more flair than Belhaven's most eligible man about town?
Sorry, Mr. Sloan. I'm a married woman.
Where's Kate?
She won't be in this afternoon.
Oh, I thought I'd take her to lunch.
She's home. Later, she's driving her father-in-law out to look at that land. You know, the land he's giving for the Belhaven Nature Sanctuary.
Oh, boy.
Well, I think it's a wonderful idea. 600 acres for little birds and big trees and small furry creatures. What's wrong with that?
Didn't Kate tell you?
I've hardly seen her. She isn't one for telling what she doesn't want to tell.
Well, it's no secret. In another couple of days, the whole town will know it.
Know what?
Look, Pat, why don't you come and have lunch with me?
Oh, David, you're out of your mind. I'm 6 months pregnant, and when somebody else pays, I eat like a horse. But if you're all that serious...
I'm not serious. Let's go.
Blind and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Final Net, gives your hair a great long-lasting hold.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application, each side, each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
Hi, Mr. Wakefield.
Why, good afternoon, Pat. Come on up on the porch and talk to me.
Thank you. Is Kate around?
In the house. She's going to take me out soon to look at the land I'm giving for a nature sanctuary.
Beautiful day for it.
What do you think of it, Pat? 600 untouched acres as a living memorial to my son.
I just heard about it, sir.
I'd say come along with us today, but I suppose one of you should stay at the office.
At least to dust the cobwebs off the chair.
Oh, business will pick up. It always has. You know, I started that office for Tom. Thought he'd like something solid to do right here in Belhaven, where everybody knew him. Didn't work out. But Kate's carried on very well. When's your baby coming?
October.
You one of these modern young women who do everything at once, have a baby, keep a job, run a house, and be a wife?
Not all at once. You have to have a schedule, Mr. Wakefield. But I certainly want to come back when I can and give Kate a hand.
Now, don't worry about Catherine. That office gives her something to do. Wish she had more to do. Grandchild would have made me a very happy man.
Hi, Pat.
Hi.
I didn't know you were here.
Mr. Wakefield and I were flirting.
That's the way to flatter an old man.
Kate, Mrs. Riker called and wants us to look at her house.
Huh?
I thought maybe you could run over there with me before you go on your drive.
Oh, of course. You don't mind, Dad.
No. Run along. I have a lot of planning to do. This porch is as good a place as any. Oh, by the way, I want to stop off and see Alice Kingman at the youth center on the way home.
What put this into your head, Pat?
I wanted to talk to you. David came by to take you for lunch. He took me instead. Pineapple cheesecake. No willpower, that's me. He told me about the memorial for Tom.
Pat, this is my problem. Don't you worry about it.
It doesn't make sense.
It makes sense to Dad. He thinks if the memorial is big enough and beautiful enough, people will forget everything else.
People aren't made that way.
Oh, I guess everybody isn't going to talk.
Kate, you've been putting up fences so long, you've forgotten what it's like to be yourself.
You do what you have to do, Pat.
And you did it. You stuck with Tom through thick and thicker.
I married Tom because I loved him. And it wasn't all bad. Sailing in the islands, Jamaica, the coastline.
Fine. And what did you come home to? You went through hell, and nobody's supposed to know it. You'll have to live through it again unless somebody can get through to Mr. Wakefield.
Look, we've gone right past Mrs. Riker's house.
I didn't tell her we were coming. I just had to let off a little steam.
Oh.
See what I could do to help you.
Thanks, Pat. I can't think of anything yet.
David's pretty uptight about this, too. He's a good guy, Kate.
I know.
The following is a paid dramatization.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder Angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Oceder makes your life easier.
And that's what the kids will be doing for the bicentennial celebration, Mrs. Kingman?
You should have heard them before they started practicing regularly, David.
I know. I had a sax once. When I didn't know the notes, I just played louder.
When Mr. Wakefield gave this youth center to our town 10 years ago, he said it was for recreation. And when they put me in charge, I said, recreation is just that. A place where the kids could loosen up. And they do. Billy? Those paddle rackets belong in the locker.
Well, thanks, Mrs. Kingman, for giving me a preview.
You write us a good story now.
Front page, double column.
And pictures. Kids love pictures. Mr. Wakefield's outside.
Oh, I didn't know he was here now.
Well, he won't come in. He's just sitting in the car watching the youngsters. I want to go out and see him. Come along and say hello.
Another time, Mrs. Kingman. Thanks.
Pleasure, Mr. Wakefield. You don't come often enough. How are you, Kate?
Just fine, thank you, Mrs. Kingman.
And as pretty as when you were in my English class.
What was that racket?
The Haven Blues Band.
Were they playing or fighting those instruments?
That's the bump. You know the bump, Kate?
I'm afraid not.
You come around to our party Friday night and the kids will teach you. I remember when there wasn't a dance you couldn't do.
That was a while ago.
You've got more years ahead of you to dance than you've got behind you.
Mrs. Kingman, we don't want to take your time. I came here to ask a favor of you.
Just ask it, Mr. Wakefield.
I'm establishing a nature sanctuary here in Belhaven.
I've heard about it. It's a beautiful idea.
I want you on the board to help run it.
I'd be delighted. I truly would.
600 acres of the finest land in our county. The Tom Wakefield Living Memorial.
But Tom?
Yes, for Tom.
I think...
Well, what do you think of it?
I think if the Lord put that thought in your heart and you're not hurting anyone by it, then I guess it'll be all right.
Well, don't you believe that mistakes can be forgiven and forgotten?
I believe that everything can be forgiven with humility. What people remember or forget is, well, who knows?
Well, will you join my board?
Well, this project is going to mean a lot to the youngsters in this area, but I'd like to think it over, Mr. Wakefield.
Thank you, Mrs. Kingman. We'll go, Catherine.
Oh, goodbye, Mrs. Kingman. Goodbye, Kate.
With humility, huh? It's what they all want. Humility. Well, I'm not a humble man. I'm not going to announce Tom's memorial in the paper.
Maybe that's better, Dad.
I'm going to announce it myself from the speaker's platform on the bicentennial celebration.
To you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author Studio is brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers.
Just in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Oh, poor kid.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh. Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Finalmet. Finalmet is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Finalmet holds up longer than you do.
Ladies, your faithful author of Vanity Fair, William Makepeace Thackeray. Need I remind you that two adversaries stand face to face? Miss Rebecca Sharp, pupil teacher without pay, and Miss Minerva Pinkerton, mistress of the school Becky is about to depart. Now, let us eavesdrop on the admirable discourse between them.
You may sit in that chair, Rebecca. No. Not that one.
Well, I prefer the soft pillowed one. I leave the hard one for you. It suits your character.
You will rise at once and do as I order?
Oh, no, Miss T. Never again. Not forever and ever need I do what you order.
How dare you call me Miss T?
Be glad if I do not call you worse.
All I have done for you when you speak to me so.
What?
have you done for me?
When you hadn't a roof to cover you, nor a crumb to eat, I took you in, fed you. Out of charity, gave an outcast a home. You owe me much, Rebecca Shaw.
I owe you nothing. You took me in and used me. I've saved you pots of money these 3 years. Did you pay me one mean shilling for all the French I've taught? No, you pinch penny old hag.
Oh, how dare you? I'll hear no more of this.
You have treated me worse than any servant in the kitchen. And I wish to say again what I said when I entered. Mademoiselle quelque chose tout le cochon, mégère, escroquerie, et tu me prises de fond en comble.
Now go. Be gone.
Well, now, why do you not answer? What I said requires your best reply. In French.
I have not one word more to say to you.
Because you understood not one word and never had all these years pretending that you did. For your edification, I'll translate. Miss Thing, you are a swine, a shrew, a swindler, and I despise you from top to bottom.
How dare you? How dare you?
Do stop saying how dare you. I dare because I am Becky Sharp, and I shall dare all my life long as I have dared with you. With your kind permission, I take my leave.
Wait.
You can't bear to see the last of me?
We have not spoken of Sir Pitt Crawley.
The Baroness.
Close the door.
Close it so no one will hear how you recommended a young woman whom you despise and distrust to be governess to Sir Pitt's children.
May heaven forgive me.
Heaven will forgive well enough, and so will Sir Pitt. I'll be a very good governess to his two little girls. Not that I'm over fond of Moffat, but Sir Pitt has two grown sons. And I'm very fond of unmarried sons.
What are you planning?
What do you fancy I plan, Miss Pink? Oh. Is it too hard to guess?
Oh.
I think not.
How clever of you.
Oh,
you. You are a gutter snipe. That your nobility.
Did you mention to the nobility that the governess you recommend is a gutter snipe you wanted to be rid of? No. And that is why the door is closed. You wish to ask me, beg me if I resist, beg me not to reveal to Sir Pitt that you muscled your conscience and wrote that Miss Rebecca Sharp is a charming, clever, talented young lady. And so she is.
Oh, I think I shall faint.
Did you tell him my mother was a dancing girl? And my father a drunken artist? No? Well, how kind of you. Oh, did you say I was of respectable ancestry? I see you did. Well, I do have something to thank you for.
Go. Now, go.
No, not quite. How it must gore you that Amelia, your very favorite pupil, has invited me to spend a fortnight in her home before I go to Sir Pitt.
Oh, a most ill-considered invitation.
I am sure you'll be pleased to know that Emmy's brother Joseph is home from India and that there is no Mrs. Joseph. Oh. Thank you for your good wishes, and I bid you good morning.
One moment. You may fetch Amelia and return with her here.
You want me to hear with what affection you bid another girl adieu? Do you imagine it will wound me? Then you know me not at all.
Mercy, both in life and in novels, which are bound in villains, that we can have as companion so guileless and sweet a person as Amelia Sedley. She's of such soft disposition that when she hears of anyone unhappy, her heart straightway melts. And so it is that she has befriended Becky Sharp. Now, back to Miss Pinkerton's drawing room to Miss P doing precisely what Becky predicted. Bear, if you can, her drooling.
Dear Miss Amelia, most favored and favorite pupil of Miss Pinkerton's academy, after 3 years in my care, I have the honor of presenting to your parents a young lady worthy to occupy a fitting position in their refined circle.
Thank you, Miss Pinkerton.
Yes, splendid, splendid. All written out and learned by heart.
Pay her no mind, child. In music, dancing, embroidery, and orthography, your parents will find you have realized their fondest wishes. But, my dear, in geography and posture, much is still to be desired.
I'll study geography at home, Miss Pinkerton.
And walk about for an hour each day with a book on her head to improve her posture.
In the principles of religion and morality, you will be found worthy of this establishment's teaching. And in leaving, you carry away the affectionate regards of Miss Minerva Pinkerton.
Bravo! Bravo!
Now then, at the hour of parting, it is my custom to present farewell gifts to my pupils.
Oh.
All are presented with a copy of the late revered Dr. Johnson's dictionary. Here, child, is yours.
Thank you, dear Miss Where's Becky's dictionary?
Miss Sharp has not earned that honor.
But that's not fair. You said that every girl...
Never mind.
Always...
Come away, Amelia.
Who
wants the silly old book?
Well, I can spell every word in it anyhow. Come on. Let's go.
Goodbye, Miss Pinkerton. I'm most woefully sorry at leaving my friend.
Heaven bless you, my child. Miss Sharp, I wish you good morning.
It must be remarked that Amelia deserved all that Miss Pinkerton said in her praise, and, I fear, what she said of Becky is also deserved. Never mind. Becky is so much more than Miss P could see or comprehend, we need not worry, need we? Or need we? Since an author is privy to everything, I assure you that we do. Until tomorrow, ladies, I am your obedient servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Adapted for radio by Nancy Moore. Mr. Thackeray is portrayed by Earl Hammond. Becky Sharp by Dolores Sutton. Amelia Sedley by Laura Esterman. Miss Pinkerton by Jane Hoffman. Produced and directed by Frank Papp. And brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do. This is Ralph Camargo speaking. This is the Serial Network.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life, brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work.
the overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Do you realize what time it is?
Yes, I do, dear.
What time did Debbie say she'd be home?
She thought about 1. The dance, she thought, would be over about midnight. Then they'd probably go somewhere for pizza or whatever they get, you know. So she'd get home about 1 o'clock, she said.
Well, did you tell her to get home by 1?
Well, now, you were standing right here when she left, dear. Oh, didn't she look darling?
It is 2:10.
I know.
Think there's been an accident?
Oh, no, 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 no.
Why do you say, oh, no, 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 no?
But will you try to remember when we were her age? I know I often didn't get home exactly when I said I would.
Well, did your folks like that?
No, of course not. I'm sure they acted just the way we're acting, but I certainly wasn't late because we'd had an accident. You just lose track of time, you know, when you're having fun.
We could call the state police and see if there's been a car crash or anything.
No, 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 no.
Debbie's only 16. Staying out till 2 is entirely too late.
Now, are you going to bawl her out when she does get in?
It depends on when she gets in. We don't know a darn thing about this boy she's with.
Well...
And whether you like it or not, when she gets home, I want to talk to her young man.
Oh, honey.
No, no, no. I'm going to talk to him. If nothing else, at least we ought to get acquainted with him.
In the middle of the night? Now, at least wait until he asks her out again. Then we can invite him in, you know, before they go out. Of course, he won't ask her out again if you bawl him out tonight.
I'm not going to bawl him out, as you put it. I just want to have a little talk with him. A few minutes.
Well, don't put him through the third degree, please. She's not marrying him. She simply went to a dance with him. So don't ask him where he's going to college, what his father does, what his prospects are in later life and all that.
Oh, why would I do that?
Well, because you always do. On the few dates she's had, and Debbie nearly died.
I'm looking after my daughter's welfare.
Fine, but she's 16. This is not the year 1850. So if he kisses her on the porch tonight, you do not have to challenge him to a duel.
Okay, okay.
Now, look, let's just relax and not worry, honey. Let's just be happy that she's happy and had a good time tonight.
Oh. We don't know that she did.
Well, of course she did.
Frankly, you seemed more excited about this country club dance than she did.
Oh, she was excited. Debbie doesn't show her feelings the way I do. She washed her hair 3 times.
She did?
Yeah.
Oh, she's a cutie pie.
She's a cutie pie. I can't wait to hear all about it. Who was there? Who she danced with. Oh, I remember the dance when I had my first long dress.
Uh-huh. Is this her first long dress?
Well, it's practically her first dress. As far as I can figure out, she's had blue jeans on ever since she got out of diapers. Oh, she did look pretty tonight when she left, didn't she?
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, now, honey, Debbie is not beautiful.
Huh?
No, she's not beautiful. She's cute. She's cute. She's very attractive. I mean, when you can see her face, she just keeps that awful long hair out of her eyes. You know, half the time, all you can see is a nose. And besides that,
Debbie is a beautiful girl. She's charming. She's delightful.
No, dear, she is not. She may be in time, but she is not now.
How can you say that about your own child?
Well, she's our third. You get more objective. And I hate to say it, I do, but Debbie doesn't have very much, well, personality. Maybe she does with her friends, but not with us.
I never feel I really know her. Mm. That's right.
How many people do you feel you really know?
That's true.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a car pulling in the drive.
Get back from the window so she doesn't think, you know, spying on her.
Get back.
Get back. Now, if she's had a good time, please, let's not get cross because it's later than she thought it would be. I mean, let's not spoil the evening, huh?
All right.
Oh, I just can't wait to roll up. Get away from the window.
This is the first date she's had with this guy?
Yeah. Oh, don't peek through the side curtains. Now,
I think he's kissing.
Get away. Get.
A first date?
Dear, times have changed.
Boy, the first date he's had with her, and he's all...
The first date I had with you, you were an octopus.
Well, you rolled off and slapped me.
I know, doesn't seem silly now.
No, a girl should defend her virtue.
Oh, good heavens, time hasn't changed at all when it comes to fathers. Now, let's just be pleasant and nice when she comes in, all right? Please, I want to hear about the dance. Dear,
don't blink the porch lights.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Every woman likes to know she's the best she can be, so take a little time out for yourself, your looks, and especially for great-looking hair. Great-looking hair comes easily with Natural Wear Miss Clairol Hair Color. Choose from two personal formulas. Shampoo formula or conditioning formula is the easy way to get fresh, young color. Extra-rich cream formula is the one hairdressers use, because no laboratory today has found a better way to cover gray. Shampoo formula or cream formula, try Natural Wear Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
And I want to know why your young man did not bring you to the door. Don't they have any manners these days?
Well, Daddy, you blinked the porch lights. It was so embarrassing.
Oh, never mind all that. Darling, was it fun? Tell us all about it.
You didn't have to wait up for me.
Well, we wanted to, Debbie. Of course we wanted to wait up and hear all about the dance. How was it?
It was okay.
Debbie, the big social event of the summer season. Did you have fun?
Sure. It was okay.
Everyone liked your dress?
I guess so.
Well, didn't anybody say anything?
About what?
Well, about your dress, Debbie.
Well, sure. I don't know. It was all right.
Well, you and I spent 1 week shopping for that dress.
I wish you hadn't waited up for me. It was so embarrassing. Made me feel like a baby.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. We were worried about you, so we stayed up.
Oh, never mind that now, Debbie. Come on, tell us. Did you have a fantastically good time?
Sure. I mean, it was okay.
It was okay.
What does that mean, Debbie? Your mother asked you a question.
It was okay. What's the big deal?
Well, it was a big enough deal when you wanted a new dress.
I don't know why you waited up for me.
All right. We did wait up for you, so let's not go on about it.
Look, right. Now, I'm sorry, Debbie. We embarrassed you, and we both apologize. Well, at least tell us about it.
About what?
The dance, dear. The country club summer dance. Who was there? Who did you dance with? What were the decorations like? Who was the dance band? Did anything funny or interesting happen? You know,
no, nothing special. It was just, you know, a dance.
Let's forget all this tonight and go to bed.
No. I knocked myself out all week getting that dress for her, getting shoes to match, getting a ribbon to match for her hair, borrowing an evening wrap. I have driven her all over the place for a week getting her ready for this dance, and I want to hear about it. I want to hear about it now. Did you have a good time, Deborah?
I guess so. It was all right.
May I ask, are you practicing to be a Trappist monk?
Dear.
Has she taken some vow of silence? I've spent a week getting her ready for this dance, and I want some details. Like being jilted at the altar.
Mom, what is it you want to know? What's the big deal?
All right. Who was there, for example?
Well, Mom, you don't know any of them anyway. You never get anyone straight.
Now, wait a minute. Debbie, don't talk to your mother that way.
But, Daddy, she doesn't. She's always saying, now, which one is Bill and which one is Bob? Which one is Jack? And she's met them all.
All right. Just try me tonight. Let me hear some names. Two names. One name. I'll settle for that.
I don't know why you always get so excited about things, Mom.
I don't either, but there it is. After just so long of batting my head against a brick wall, I get excited.
Hello,
I
everybody,
calm
down.
I want to hear one name.
Please.
I want to know
one name. Okay, I'll tell her. Mom, you know Barry Crisco? He was there.
Barry Crisco. I've met him. I know him.
See what I mean, Daddy? Yes, Mom, you've met Barry. You say that every time. You met him at Christmas time when he came to pick me up to go ice skating.
Christmas time?
What?
Christmas, that was almost a year ago. He came in with about 18 others, and they're all standing in the dark hall here. Then you rushed out, and I'm supposed to remember everyone when I've only seen them for 5 seconds?
I wish you hadn't waited up for me.
It was embarrassing.
Well, I don't care whether it was embarrassing or not. Your mother and I were worried about you.
The dance wasn't over until 1 o'clock, and then we got a pizza, and I came straight home, and he kissed me goodnight, which I suppose you saw peeking out the window.
Deborah, you come back here.
Oh, let her go to bed. Let her go to bed.
I know, we make mistakes as parents, but I just hope we're on the right track.
Well, we may be on the right track. I think we're on the wrong train. In fact, I think I'm on a freight train going the other way.
Mom? Daddy? Are you going to kiss me before you go to bed?
Oh, yes.
Yes,
dear.
We'll be up to kiss you goodnight.
Yeah, you see? We'll make it as parents.
Well, I hope so. Then we're going to have the grandchildren to cope with.
Ah, but our kids will change the diapers, and all we have to do is relax and enjoy the grandchildren.
Oh, I can hardly wait.
Has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Claro, to know you're the best you can be. This is the Serial Network.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers. Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
In charge of the bar, so would you put the ice bucket wherever you want it?
Sure. I may even make use of it. Anything you'd like?
A martini, if it's not too much trouble.
No trouble at all. In fact, I had my face all set for one before I pulled into the driveway. Well, the house looks very nice.
Thank you. I did what I could in the time I had.
Oh, wasn't Betsy any help?
No, none at all. I told her we were entertaining, and she made it quite clear that she couldn't care less.
Entertaining? Oh, Ginger, I'm not looking forward to an evening of idiot bridge.
If you had more patience with dull people, you'd have gotten a lot further than you have, Marshall.
May I suggest that we drink to that friendly observation?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, I'm finally convinced that that barnyard theory is true.
You've lost me.
Oh, you know. Every chicken in the barnyard has a certain number of chickens who can peck him, all the ones who rank him. And he can peck all the chickens that he ranks, but nobody can step out of line. It applies, dear.
Oh, well, I don't see how it applies to us, but I'm sure you'll tell me. Aside from some of the better caddies at the club, I can't think of anyone who exactly holds me in contempt.
How about the Carters?
Jason is technically my superior at the hospital. Also, he's a little older than I am. He has never treated me with contempt, and he never will. It doesn't work that way with men.
That's a cheap, chauvinistic shot. The man you worked under at Billings. I can't even remember his name.
Keller.
He treated you like a doormat.
Keller was an exception.
And so is Emily Carter.
Oh, what on earth has Emily Carter done to you?
Susie Carter invited Betsy to spend the night over there tomorrow night. The invitation was accepted. 24 hours later, it was canceled.
Oh. On what grounds?
The grounds, if you can call them that, were that Emily doesn't trust the two girls to be together in the house without supervision.
All right, now let's see. You got the story from Betsy, who claims to be relating what Emily said to Susie, and Susie told Betsy. Have I got it right so far?
Don't be sarcastic with me, Marshall. The important thing is that at the very mention of Betsy's name, Emily became irrational. She had a terrible scene with Susie right in the middle of Schultz's drugstore.
All right. Well, then the sensible thing to do would be to call Emily Carter and get to the bottom of it.
Do you really think Emily's behind this?
Well, who's your candidate? The Viet Cong?
You.
You're out of your mind.
Am I? Wouldn't your affair with Angela Fairchild go a lot smoother if there weren't any communication between her sister's family and yours?
Oh, Ginger, really? And you claim Emily is irrational.
Betsy has been welcome in the Carter house since the day that you joined the staff of university. Why would Emily suddenly do an about-face if you're not behind it?
Well, who knows, and I don't have to discuss the subject any further.
You can claim any kind of privilege you want, Marshall. In your position, it's pretty easy to go over your head.
Oh. The way you did at Billings?
If necessary. Take your choice, Marshall. Start behaving like a husband or I'll make sure you run out of hospital.
Oh.
Now, if you think I won't do it, just remember that I'm not trying to save a marriage. I want to be sure that Betsy and I have a nice, secure future with or without you. It'll be a lot cheaper for you if you tell Miss Fairchild to get lost.
Yes. Cheap is the right word.
If you have to play Lothario, why don't you have a shot at Emily? At least she could be helpful in hospital politics, and you can use all the help you can get.
Come in, Robert. How are you?
Oh, very warm. How's my favorite daughter-in-law?
Bearing up. Here, let me take a brief
seat. No, I'll put it next to the door where I won't forget it. Sorry to be early, but I came straight from the office. I find going home to an empty house depresses me.
Oh, still no word as to when Carolyn and Lynn are coming home?
Not one hint. Oh, here, I had another postcard from Lynn this morning. I'm sorry it's a little damp from my breast box.
No, that's right. Dear Dad, this is Pete Nair. Lunch here yesterday, view and
altitude.
12,000 feet, enough to make one believe in God and quit smoking. Love, Lynn and C.
You know, neither one of them ever says, wish you were here. Do you think they're trying to tell me something?
Oh, just that they're enjoying themselves. Put your coat on the rack and come on into the kitchen. At least it's air-conditioned. And there's some iced tea in the fridge and drink makings on the sideboard.
Well, iced tea will be fine.
On the top shelf, dear, right next to the milk.
You know, I may decide to move in here until I get my wife and daughter back, if I ever do.
Well, you can't tell much from a postcard, but Lynn seems a little more like her old self.
Well, Caroline was right as usual. The trip was probably just what Lynn needed to pull herself together and start her life over again.
Divorces are messy, Robert, but annulments are worse.
Yes, I wish Lynn had turned out a little more like you, Emily.
Oh, like me. There are days when I could hardly get my shoes buttoned on, and today was one of them.
You know, you ask too much of yourself, dear. You're not satisfied to run a house that raised three children. You insisted on going back to the university and competing with a lot of 18-year-olds.
Well, I enjoy the challenge.
You can't wear yourself down, you know. Life isn't a race against time.
In a way, it is. We're not here for very long.
Well, the more reason not to run through it is if we couldn't wait to see what's at the other end.
Oh, is that what you think I'm doing?
All I can tell you is what I see. I think you're trying to do too much. Now, what good is a degree in child psychology going to do you if you're too worn out to practice it when you get it?
Well, I'll just dip into the reserve, I guess.
There can come a day when you look for it. And there's no reserve left.
Well, it hasn't happened yet. Or maybe it has, and I just didn't realize it until today.
You didn't have some sort of a fight with Jason, did you?
Oh, no, no, no. It was Susie. Two of them, in fact. I don't even remember what the first one was about, but... I'm almost too ashamed to tell you about the second.
No reason to, if you don't want to.
I don't know if I can tell you without breaking down. This afternoon, we were at the drugstore. We got into a running battle over Susie's relationship with Betsy Foster. I just think Betsy's a bit on the wild side, and I told Susie she couldn't have Betsy over for the night when Jason and I weren't coming home until late. And Susie felt that I was saying I couldn't trust her.
That's understandable.
Oh, but Robert, suddenly it wasn't just a mother and daughter argument. Susie never talked to me that way before. And I don't think I've ever let myself be as angry with her.
Which might have been what she was looking for.
No, I'm sure she didn't see that the situation was getting out of control. I'm not very proud of myself, Robert.
Why? What happened?
I hit her. I slapped her. Right in front of her friends.
Oh, Emily.
If I live to be 100, I'll never forget the look in her eyes. She was so hurt, humiliated.
Oh, I'm sure she knows you didn't mean it.
Does she? I don't know myself. All I know is that I love her and I hurt her very deeply.
Emily, things have a way of getting out of focus every once in a while. Time will put everything back in the proper perspective.
No. No, I'll remember the look on her face for the rest of my life. Jason's home.
Oh, well, you don't want him to see you like this. Why don't you go upstairs and put on a new face, huh?
Yes, I think I'll lie down for a while.
What do you want me to tell Jason?
It doesn't matter. Tell him whatever you want. Maybe this might be the time to have a father and son talk about women who can't control their emotions.
Has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This is the Serial Network, a division of DCA Productions.